with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. At this time of the year, we thought an uplifting story would warm your spirits. Merrymakers is a wonderful organisation which allows people with physical and mental disabilities to enjoy the magic of dance and spread that joy by performing to community groups and beyond, even the stage of the Sydney Opera House. To share their story, Marnie Roper spoke with the amazing Lucinda Bryant, OAM, Artistic Director of Merrymakers. You no doubt picture Lucinda on the telephone in a dance studio, but no, she joined us sitting on a rock at the only point in Taronga Park Zoo where she could get mobile reception. She took time out of her busy job as Community Programs Coordinator in the Education section of the zoo. We managed to get through the interview with no interruption from the lions.
Hello, Lucinda. Thanks for joining us today. So it all began in 1978. Tell us a little bit about that period in the history of Merrymakers.
Yes, so the group started in 1978 with an amazing woman called Rosemary Marriott, who was asked to look after a young child in a wheelchair. And she took this young child in and decided that rather than just have this child sit and watch TV, she'd been an artistic person herself. She put on a bit of ABBA. She put some bells around his wrists and a piece of wood down under his feet with some tap shoes that she had. And she was absolutely blown away to see how much he was actually stimulated by the music that he was hearing. And it sort of just grew from there. A word of mouth got out that she had such remarkable findings and that this actually happened with this young child, that more and more people started knocking on her door. And it was really from there that Merrymakers began.
Oh, that's a marvellous story. And how and when did you get involved?
I got involved in the group in 1989 when I was 12 years of age, and my mum was actually participating in adult tap classes that Rosemary Marriott was going along to, and they just got started talking about the wonderful group, and mum said, you know, my daughter loves to dance, and before I knew it, I was going along every Saturday and I'd become a volunteer helper with the group. And when I first started, I found it quite confronting. It was really my first experience of being around people with special needs and disabilities. But they were so welcoming that it wasn't long before I really felt like I was part of the family and became very addicted to the group and wanted to continue attending every Saturday.
And then you took over as artistic director?
I did. It was in 1994, sadly, when Rosemary Marriott passed away, that I took over teaching the group. And I was 18 years of age, had just finished high school, had some very big shoes to step into, but had spent a lot of time with Rosie. We became very close and she took me under her wing and really taught me a lot in the last 12 months before she passed away. So even though it was quite intimidating and I was very nervous and unsure of what, you know, how it was going to go, it was definitely something that I wanted to do. And just seeing the amazing things that can happen when you're really dedicated to something, and the power of music as well, was something that I was just fascinated by and really wanted to be a part of.
And I read that you never missed a class.
No, I never missed a class. So even when I'm not well or I'm not particularly up to it, I'm still there. And it's amazing how I can sort of turn up and be a little bit sort of upset with how my week's been and not feeling great. And by the end of it, after a four-hour class, after being around the Merrymakers, I feel wonderful. The energy and the love and the support that they give me is really incredible. And I think sometimes maybe I'm actually getting more out of it than they are.
And do you have a background in teaching?
I do have a background in teaching. I studied a Bachelor of Applied Arts in Dance, Bachelor of Education, so to be a high school teacher in dance and PE. So I've always been really interested in teaching people, and I've always loved music, and I've danced since I was about 5 years of age. So it's kind of combining the two loves together, which I think is why I keep doing it and why I enjoy it so much.
And who is a typical class participant? It's sort of like age or and their disability or gender?
Yeah, so the group is a very mixed group. We have, you know, age 5 to 55 in the group. We have all different people that are in the group, all different needs. So we have Down syndrome, autistic, Asperger's, Fragile X. We also have, boys and girls, males and females. And we also have a lot of helpers that are in the group as well. So there's about 10 to 15 helpers that dance in the group. And they are parents, sisters, or even sometimes people that have joined the group because they've been interested in volunteering for their Duke of Edinburgh or a community scheme. And they also come along every Saturday and assist with the teaching and being a part of the group. So it's really a mixed dance group of all types of abilities, ages. They're very unique in that way that we sort of, it's a very diverse group.
And how many merrymakers are there in total?
There's about 70 that are in the group. So they're all there at the one time. They all are in the class together for 4 hours. So if you can imagine, it's 4 rows, 5 rows deep full of students. And then we also have all of the parents there as well. So the parents can sit and watch, or the parents will go off and they'll play tennis together, or they'll go and have coffee. So it's not only a dance group. I think it's an incredibly important support network for all the parents as well.
And whereabouts do you hold the classes?
The classes are held at St Ives Community Hall, and we're very lucky that we're supported so well by Ku-ring-gai Council. They've always supported the merrymakers. Even when Rosie was back teaching, we were also always provided with a hall by them. And it's without that sort of generosity that merrymakers would be very difficult to run, because it is all voluntary. Everyone that participates and comes along, they volunteer their time. And we also don't charge anything for classes.
And how often do you hold these classes?
So we hold our classes every Saturday. We start about midday and we go through into the afternoon. And quite often we'll bump those up to being every Saturday and Sunday if we're working towards a big concert, a big gala event, which we will hold at the Sydney Opera House in the Joan Sutherland Theatre, which is just absolutely amazing.
And with disparate impediments to free dance movement, how do you get participants to work together to produce one of these wonderful performances?
We do a lot of partner work, so they do work well when they're actually partnering with other people. But we also have a diverse range of performances or dances that we do. So if we are doing a concert at the Opera House, it'll be with the Royal Australian Navy Band, and then we'll have about 10 guest artists like John Paul Young, Brian Cadd, Felicity Urquhart, a range of people, and they perform with us.
Oh.
And we perform about 8 numbers that we do with them. So one might be quite a slow number, which is well suited to majority of the group. And then there might be a smaller group of about 20 to 30 that do a fast tap number that might be with the Navy Band. And, you know, we have James Valentine on the saxophone with us. So I choreograph to sort of suit not only the needs of the dancers, but also the type of music and the guest artists that are performing with us as well.
And so absolutely all of the group do a performance. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yep, all of them are included in every concert. It'll just depend on if they're a new group and they're only 4 or 5 years of age, then we might just bring them on for one number, and that's enough, because it's not only being on stage, as you can imagine, at the Opera House with a big band and a very large audience can be quite intimidating. So it just takes more steps and gauge it on how each individual is progressing and also what they're comfortable with. It's really important that when we get out there that we want them to enjoy the experience and not to be frightened by it.
Do you use some specific instructions that as a way of getting them to follow and remember and perform specific steps?
Yeah, so we use a technique that Rosemary Marrick came up, and that's dancing to colours. So they'll have a red band on their right wrist and a blue on their left and also on their shoes. So instead of calling out right and left, I call out red and blue so they can visually understand and see where they're meant to be moving to and what direction. Also, the type of music that we use is very important. So music that they know, music that they can relate to and understand the lyrics to. So there'll be set sort of chorus movement that will be familiar to them. And they're incredible in what they can remember. I mean, there are routines that I have done with them over 20 years ago, and I can put on the music and they still remember it. It's absolutely amazing. I have trouble remembering it, but they remember every step.
That's amazing.
It's incredible, yeah.
And obviously it gives a huge amount of joy to the not only the participants but their carers. What are the benefits that you see?
For me, the benefits of the group really are individual too. You know, there are some Marys that come along and they really do get so much from it. I remember when one fellow in particular, Sam, when he first started, he was quite young when he came along, and all he used to do was just lie on the floor. And I just ignored him for the first few weeks. I kind of just stepped over him, just pretended that he wasn't there. Sam would invite him up, and then over a few weeks he got more and more confident, and then before I knew it he started to sort of get up and want to dance as well. And now he's one of our stars. You can't get him out of the front row. He's absolutely incredible, and his confidence and self-esteem is just huge. And I think for me that is an incredibly huge reward, but also for his mum that comes along each Saturday, seeing him confidently walk into the hall now, and he'll walk straight up to me and say, "Hi, how are you? How was your week?" And really, you can just see that he's just grown into such a beautiful, confident young man. And that, I think, is incredibly rewarding for everyone that's involved.
Absolutely. And I presume it improves their physical ability, does it?
Yeah, definitely. I know that back in Rosie's time, there was a young fellow that was with the group and he found it very difficult to move one side of his body. And after, you know, a number of years of being with the group, the mobility that he had in his body was just amazing. And it was music that really inspired him to do that. And he really was a natural performer. So seeing that sort of thing happen as well is incredible and just goes to show how anything is possible and things can be achieved.
Now, you told us about your Opera House Gala. I also know that they performed at a dance festival in 2012, and you even went to Disneyland. These are substantial undertakings. How do you go about organising so many people to stage performances of that calibre?
We're very lucky that we have a great network of volunteers that help us out with our costumes and backstage. My mum, Janet McFarlane, is also the backbone of the charity and she organises everything. She's amazing what she can do. I mean, when we went to Disney, we took, you know, there would have been close to 300 people almost that came with us because of all their families and just the logistics of organising all of that was amazing and she did it so well. But we also had an incredible travel company that supported us. There are a lot of people that once they see what Merrymakers does, they really do want to help out and make things happen. And we really couldn't do it without them. So we're very lucky.
And are there any events coming up in 2015?
Not too sure yet if we've got any events coming up next year. We did do our big gala performance May just gone at the Sydney Opera House. And we tend to do them every second year just because there is a lot of prep and lead up time that's required for them. So not 100% sure yet what we're going to be doing next year. But we'll definitely be doing something, whether they're just smaller performances or community events. But as far as the big concert goes, we're probably looking at early 2016.
And at present, I know there's a photographic exhibition along the boardwalk of the Opera House documenting the preparation for that gala performance. Yes. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, so that's an exhibition called Boundless Spirit that a photographer, Cassandra Hannigan, has put together. And it really is a beautiful exhibition and it really captures the Merrymakers in the lead up to their performance, but also on stage. And it was really important for us to have it up at this time because we opened it on the Day of International Day of Disability. And it's a exhibition that I'm very proud of because of its location. I think that being right there at the Sydney Opera House where there are so many people that can see it, but also to show people that we perform on the same stage as the Australian Ballet. And I think that is something that the Merrymakers are incredibly proud of. And we couldn't do that without the Australian Ballet because they support us so much as well to be able to have us perform in there. I mean, even for me, in my background in dance, I remember the first time I stepped out on that stage, I couldn't believe that I was actually going to dance on that stage at the Sydney Opera House.
Now, Merrymakers is a volunteer organisation. Other than teaching dance, what other roles do volunteers fill?
So there are a number of volunteers that come along. All the guest artists that perform with us, they all volunteer their time. We have parents that will work in the kitchen every Saturday to make sure that all the Merrys have lots of breaks and their food and drinks to keep them going through their rehearsals. We have the volunteers that actually dance with the group as well. We also have volunteer nurses that attend that are also parents that come along each Saturday just for any special requirements if we may need them. We have people that volunteer to set up on the music system. There's just, I mean, basically every single person that gets involved can have committed to the group and do volunteer their time each Saturday to make it work.
If anyone is interested in joining either as a participant or as a volunteer, how do they go about that?
So we just encourage people to go through our website, which is merrymakers.com.au, and on there we have all of our contact details, so they can either give us a call or they can email us their interest in the group and how they'd like to get involved, or even if our door is open every Saturday that we invite people just to come along and watch us rehearse. And quite often people will be walking past the hall and they'll hear the music and they'll just wander in and just sit there for an hour and just watch the magic that Merrymakers is.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.